Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter and broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with online traders, broker-assisted traders, hedgers, and speculators. If you'd like to know more about me, you can go to turnerstake.com. All my contact information's in the show notes. If you are a client and like what we're talking about, want to put some strategies in place, give me a call, shoot me an email. If you have my cell phone, shoot me a text. If you don't have my cell phone, let me know. I'll get that to you. If you are not a client and are interested in working with us, feel free to contact me. My number here is 312-706-7610. If you like the podcast, we'd love to get a review. You can go on to iTunes and give us a review and send along to anyone you might like who might like it. And if you want to take a look at Turner's Take Newsletter, all you have to do is either go to turnerstake.com and sign up for it, or you can text number 33777. That's 33777 with the message Turner, my last name, T-U-R-N-E-R. Follow instructions, and we're good to go. So today was WASD Day. It is the August WASD, and let's dive right on into it. So I'm going to bring up, let's take a look here, corn. So corn came out, and we had a yield, the big headlines. Takes 2 days to trade the WASD. First day is the headlines, second day is the guts of the report. The headline was 181.8 on the corn. You plug and chug all the numbers with, let's say, the demand. They did inch up demand for exports. Some pretty big. They also put up the feed number two. They increased the production. At the end of the day, they got ending stocks about 2.7 billion. They lowered the average farm price down from 325 to 310, which is the average on farm price for the year when you see that price in the USDA or in my tables. And then the futures prices are usually a range of that. When the USDA lowers the average farm price from 325 to 310, that's the average, meaning that the futures and the harvest lows are going to be below that. So, because they're also counting all the sales that went on earlier in the year that were much higher than $3, right? So, and I guess it's a cash price, not a futures price, and the basis usually, you know, has been a whole lot weaker. But just something to keep in mind. I don't know if everyone knows exactly how those numbers are calculated or what they mean. I get a lot of questions on that in my tables. But anyways, long story short, 2.7 billion. That's what the market was kind of looking for. And here we are. We've been trading anywhere between, you know, the low 320s to mid to high 320s all day. I think the market was a little surprised from people I talked to on why we rallied. I don't know if 3 cents higher is a rally. I do think it's enough to cover some shorts just because, you know, anyone who's been short for a long time probably used this report maybe to buy a little bit or to spread against wheat. Or maybe, you know, you saw the double bottom in and we got some technical buying because we didn't have follow through selling. Instead of, you don't see the follow through selling off a bearish number, you see some buying. Whatever it may be, we did have a bullish reaction to a bearish report, and that always is always raises an eyebrow. There's no doubt about it. So what's going on with corn? Couple of things. Number one, if there's one takeaway I have that I would like everyone else to have, is in years where you have abundant global stocks and abundant U.S. stocks, it is extremely rare to put the seasonal low in the second week of August. All right? It's just, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying it's extremely rare for something like that to happen. Most likely what happens is we chop around for a while. We figure out what happened in Iowa. to the extent of the damage that happened there. And right now I'm hearing, the estimates I hear anywhere between 50 to 150 million bushels, which, that's the case then, instead of 2.75 billion, we're at 2.6 billion ending stocks. It still means corn's going down to $3 as a harvest low. And see if there's big China buying, right? And there's been some speculation on that, especially with the U.S. and China meeting about Phase 1. I believe that's August 15th, so that's this weekend. And what do you typically see? A lot of Chinese buying. Now, they've been buying a lot of soybeans, have not seen a whole lot of, haven't seen a ridiculous amount of corn being bought. They are buying some. Will China continue to buy corn? It remains to be seen. That does place a little bit of a bid in the market, or just doesn't want the funds to get that short. So this is how I see things playing out. We're probably going to be range-bound in corn here for a while. You know, the bottom was around that 320 area, and then we're going to probably, maybe we go up into the high 320s, low 330s. I'd be real surprised if we get to 335 in December corn. As we head further into the end of the month, we'll have a better idea of the Iowa damage. The crop most likely will be getting bigger around the country. The USDA typically underestimates yield, and on purpose, by the way. You know, on years where they're bullish, you know, and which where yields would be going down, they typically will inch it down. And when the crop gets bigger, they'll inch it up, right? So big crops get bigger, small crops get smaller. That's how it usually works. So if we're at a 181 and change, you got to think maybe we're 182, 183 in corn. Probably going to lose from Iowa. Maybe we get a little bit better demand. Maybe we're still around a 2.7 carryout. If that's the case, there's a lot of old crop that needs to get moved off the farm. Either has to be priced, HTAs, whatever it may be. So that's what's going to drag corn down towards the end of the month. Wouldn't be surprised if September hits 3. Wouldn't be surprised if December eventually hits 3 leading into the September WASD, you know, when we're all going to be talking about a yield increase most likely, all right? At that point, it can start to get bullish again. But between now, August 12th, and the next WASD report, which is the 11th of September, it's going to be hard to get very bullish. Maybe, I heard some people asking me, a couple of direct calls today about, are we going to fill the gap? I guess some people are talking about that. I don't know if that's in the Twitterverse or on the radio or whatever, or newsletters. I'd be surprised if we go up and fill that gap. I'm going to say it's in the low 340s there. That would be something else, considering we have a 2.7 billion carryout. But who knows? If on the same day we get, you know, Iowa damage reports and Chinese buying, that's a day where you can fill the gap, right? If something like that should happen. You know, you're kind of, you know, you're kind of rolling double aces there on the luck of the draw. But it could happen. Most likely, though, that doesn't happen on the same day. We most likely eventually leak lower, and the selling pressure eventually catches up with corn. Now, I'll say this, too, on the, well, I definitely saw some reports today, and we had buying today. Let me just say one thing, and I think this is very important. You know, when the big funds and the big money look at how they're going to get into trades, especially in the grain markets, they look at the balance sheets that I do. It's the same process, and they say, you know, this is the world demand. This is the expected average production. I know we can be 5% off either way, more or less. On a normal year, 95% of the time, we're going to be within 5% plus or minus on yield. Where does that put prices? Where does that put carryout? Are there any huge demand drivers? And they come up with a thesis. And they've been short corn now, based on this thesis, since probably last fall. And I don't blame them, because ever since last fall, and we realized, you know, where we were going to be with, you know, with the crop and adding more acres in South America, it's been selling. So there's been a lot of money and a lot of shorts for the better part of anywhere 6 to 9 months, maybe even longer, built into this thing, on this thesis of we're going to have a big crop. And we're going to have a 3 billion carryout or close to it. Well, today was the first day where you can actually say, okay, we're there. Now, is there more to go? There is, just like selling options. You may sell an option for, you know, 30 cents. It gets down to a nickel. Do you really want to try to make that last 5 cents? Some people do. Some people don't want to move on. You can almost look at shorting corn from these big funds the same way. They've been short for a long time. We hit this, you know, the USDA has now raised the yields. They'll probably raise it some more. We know we're going to have a big balance sheet. Now it's just going to be exactly where and how we bottom out. But, you know, there's no more 50-cent, 75-cent moves left in corn. It could be 20 cents. It could be 25. It could be 30, kind of hitting on the lows at the harvest low. But if the chunk of the short money has been made, there is a reason now to start pulling some of that out. Because at some point, they have to exit. And they're going to have to, the best time to exit a big short like this would be into harvest low pressure, which would probably start between the August WASD and the September WASD, right? So that's part of this rally, too. Is the funds going to completely blow out in a disorderly way? No, they won't. But they will, they most likely will start to exit the markets here. So in some way, shape, or form, even if it's a slow one, would the funds add on? The only way I can see the funds adding on in a big way is if this crop gets made and the weather's perfect in August and China doesn't buy any corn and we learn that there wasn't a whole lot of damage done in Iowa. You know, do you add on there for the next 20 or 30 cents? Maybe. But the problem is if I'm heavily short, I'm also thinking about eventually I get out of all these contracts also. Right? And what's the value of being short corn sub $3? I don't know. I don't want to be short corn below $3. Even if we live there for a little while, I have no interest in selling corn when it's below $3, whether it's the hedge or the spec side. Much rather just buy it or sell puts or something like that as we head into a seasonal bullish window, which would be in from a month now. So those are my ideas on corn. Over the next couple of weeks to a month, it's going to be, how are we going to exit our bearish positions? Because I'm bear spread. We're short. We've got some short calls and long puts. How are we going to exit these over the next month? And then how am I going to re-own corn, right, let's say in September into October? And then how am I going to use the post-harvest rally in September, October, November to start selling into new crop next year, collecting some of that carry, whether that be in the futures, whether that using OTC and like accumulators or cash sales or HTAs, however it may be, that's my process now of thinking, you know, I don't want to react to the situation that's going on right now. I want to be able to set a game plan and say, what's the most likely course of events to happen between now and the end of the year? I think the funds think that way too. So I'm not shocked that we're up a little bit. You can make the case we never really accounted for trading the Iowa loss because we were so close to the WASD and the market wanted to see the WASD first before put a little premium in the market for any kind of loss bushels. I think that's what we saw today. But as far, and then I'll just spend one, and I've been about 10 minutes here on corn, and we're going to hit soybeans in a second. But just taking a quick look at, I can get the corn market up here real quick. I want to take a quick look at December corn. Here we go. We're at 327. 20-day moving average, about 329, 330. I don't know. 336 is probably a huge resistance line. I don't even know if we get up there. If we do, though, that's selling. We're going to start selling a stern hit 330, I would think. Unless we think there's really some huge damage in Iowa, or we get some really big buys from China. If not, it's going to eventually be the reverse lower and make the run towards 3 for September, and then eventually de-spy the September WASD. So that's corn. That's what we're looking at. And that's how we're going to play it or stick with it. Now, let's turn our attention to one last thing about corn. Let's say this crop does get bigger, and we're at a 183 bushel per acre, which isn't out of the question here, based on the results today. It does put us at about a 2.8 carryout, and we've got some big demand numbers in there too, especially on the export side. But you know, if corn's this low, it really should increase the exports. But it's already factoring that in and still getting a 2.7, 2.8. So don't want to be a downer here. But I think we have, it'd be premature to start getting bullish on corn yet. There will be a time to be bullish corn. I have a feeling some months from now. So let's switch over to soybeans. Let's see what the USDA said there. Okay, so this one was So this one was more of the impressive price action based on the report, because everyone was looking for about 51.5 on the yield, and we got about a 53.5, so 2 bushels over. Now, if you're 2 bushels over on 80 million acres, that's 160 million bushels you weren't planting on, right? Because for every bushel, you got times that by the harvested acres, which is about 80 million. So instead of having an old crop carryout of about 450, a new crop carryout of about 450, it's going to be about 600. Now, people are saying, why are we up 10 cents? Here's the deal. If the market really believed we were at a 400 million carryout, a 450 million carryout, we wouldn't be in the high eights. We really, that number deserve, when you're around a 10% carryout or lower, soybeans would deserve to be above the 200-day moving average and in the low nines, and the market wasn't doing that. So clearly the market was expecting a big yield increase, which it got. It looks like exports and the crush are going to be strong from the USDA. And what's going to be interesting here, at 53.3, ending stocks are around 600. If soybeans adds another bushel and we're 54.3, we're close to 700. If soybeans maybe don't finish so well, the USDA maybe got ahead of itself. Let's say we're at 52.3. I don't think that's going to happen. Ending stocks are at, 527. Most likely, big crops get bigger. Soybeans were not hurt like the way they were, like corn was in Iowa. But there's a real demand story for soybeans. There absolutely is with China. Unfortunately, they're going to be growing a ton of corn in South America, and it's going to, and without a South American weather issue, we're going to be probably soybeans, I'm thinking 820 to 920. Here's the reasoning on that. We will see some big Chinese buys. We will get some weather rallies here and there. There will be post-harvest rallies. And with soybeans in 880s, to think we can't go back up to the 920, 925 area, which was huge resistance in July, which was also big resistance in February. And if we're talking, if the market ever thinks we're going to get to 500 or in the 400s again in ending stocks, even though there's a plenty of supply and a South American crop coming eventually, I can, that makes sense. Makes sense on terms of the stock to use. It makes sense on terms of the charting, also compared to where other weather commodities are, all right, and their ratios to each other. On the downside, November lows were about 840. If we're going to be talking about a 600 ending stocks or lower as we head into first notice days and delivery periods and, just the pressure of beans getting combined and sold or whatever it may be, we could see 840, which is interesting because we're at 880 right now. So there, you can make a case there's 40 cents of, premium in the soybean market, if you think of it as where we are to where the harvest low is. If the crop really gets big and we're at 700 million, where, we add another bushel where we're like 54 or 55 on the yield, which is possible, then all of a sudden 820 lows could happen at harvest. I don't think beans live there for long. At that price, anyone who needs beans in the export market is going to be buying it from us and in big quantities. And that will help be supportive of the soybean market. And then, of course, we'll be rolling into later this fall into a weather premium market based on South America. So, but that is the risk. The risk is soybeans and a monster, monster crop could go to 820. Hard to see it go below there. The upside's probably capped at 920 without some major issues in South America or just some out-of-this-world Chinese buying from Phase 1 or something, who knows, political. I mean, what's an interesting situation? I was thinking about this today. Let's say the Trump loses the election, and we now have Biden and China as kind of like a little thumb in the eye there. Makes just huge ag purchases, right? Just right on the president's way out. Kind of the way look Iran did with the hostages when, Carter left and then they released them when Reagan came in. I was just kind of joking around with another trader today, what if China just waited, if Trump loses, just wait for him to leave and then all of a sudden the floodgates come back. The only reason why I was kind of making that joke is because I was trying to think of reasons what could send soybeans up into like the mid-9s or 10, right? You need something like that. I mean, just something huge on the demand side to get us up there. Otherwise, and that's not a realistic scenario, but, you know, so if we, without some huge crop failure or China just doing, like, the biggest ag buy ever just to stick it to Trump as if he had lose the election as he was walking out the door, it's hard then to argue for anything above 920. But on the flip side, you know, we're not going to go to the tariff lows, you know, when we were sub $8 and $7 and things got real ugly there. I'm not saying 820 isn't ugly, but it won't live there for long, or at least in our opinion. So that's how we see soybeans here. What's going to be interesting is the bear spreads in soybeans. You would, Nov was like a 12 or 13 cent carry. You would think that would weaken. I would think Nov versus July would weaken. I would think the corn bear spreads would also weaken. They didn't act great, even though the corn rally today, if you look at the SEP versus the other contracts, didn't act like a bullish market. So I would think the bear spreads also come in here. And then that'll be it. And so then the game plan for beans will most likely be the same for corn. Thing is, I'd be looking to sell soybeans on a little bit of a higher rally. If we could break, the 20-day moving average comes around 88, 89 right now. I guess 890 would really be a big selling point first. 903 is the 200-day. I have a hard time seeing soybeans breaking the 200 moving day going into harvest with a 600 million carryout. I mean, can't see it. You got to start coming up with wild scenarios on why that would happen. So that would be a natural resistance point too. So if you see analysts or newsletter writers saying, hey, sell beans between $8.90 and $9, I'm guessing they're thinking the same thing I am for that reason. Just technically and fundamentally and seasonally, it does not make sense to break through a 200-day average this late in the game with such a big crop coming. So that's where the price target comes from. And then the lows, you know, basically on the chart, it's all chart patterns, 860, 840, 820, take your pick. They're all major support levels on the chart. So that's where we are. If you are a farmer and you need a market, we can still take advantage of moves lower in soybeans here on the rally. For corn, we've been short or selling. There's still meat on the bone. It's not a ton, but it's worth something. In the short term, I mean nickel and dime stuff, and eventually on the corn side, there is going to be a time to buy. There's going to be a point where there's a value, and you know it's going to be one of these things where you know why not buy? Kind of like when we bought hogs, December hogs went up below 50, or when December cattle went below 100. There, corn below $3 feels the same way. So it is crude oil below 30. Cotton below 30. You know, there are certain prices points that hit in the life of some of these things where it'll be a buy again. But for now, it's not the time to be long the grain markets. It's going to be tough sledding. We'll see how the trade trades the second day of the WASDE, and we'll go from there. So I'll be sending out the newsletter later. I'll have the tables in there, and if you have any questions about how to trade these markets for the next 2-3 weeks, let me know. Happy to help out. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.